and the newly released The Returning Citizens. Listen Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. In case you missed the show, stream it later at wpfwfm.org on our archive, or subscribe to Crossroads on iTunes and Google Play Music. On your station for jazz and justice, WPFW Washington.
Hi, I'm Ephraim Woolfolk, area bassist, teacher, and supporter of WPFW. And you're tuned in to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Lots of things going on. We got the inauguration coming on Monday. We got the Social Security Fairness Act. You know, there are a lot of people who don't know about that. The old WEP, windfall elimination provision in the government pension offset, the GPO, have been eliminated. That we may very well mean something for you, depending upon whether or not you were retired federal employee, public employee, depending upon whether or not you have a spouse that's, you know, either living or deceased, that you're getting Social Security benefits as a result of. You could see a nice piece of change, a piece of change in your pocket. So I'm sure there are people listening to this show right now whose ears just perked up like a German shepherd. Say, wait, you talk about I might get some more money. And yes, in fact, let me see. And so if you're retired and you've got some of your reductions as a result of being, like I said, such as a federal employee or otherwise, you might see some serious increase in the amount of money you're getting. I think that would be fantastic. I really believe in helping out our people who have worked their entire life and are on pensions. So think it could be a good year for you because, number one, so Biden has signed this, which means, you know, depending upon, like I said, if you're getting maybe reduced money because of a living or dead spouse, or because maybe you were a government employee and you got reduction, that is going to be eliminated and you'll get a lot more money. Number one. Number two, here's the next possibility. The Trump administration has discussed removing federal taxes from Social Security. So imagine that if you get a nice, let's say you get another grand, and then you don't pay federal taxes on Social Security. Yeah, guess what? Look, I tell you, let me just say this. If that's you, if you're sitting there listening and that's you and you're going to get that more money, don't forget us the next time we're in Fund Drive. Say, well, you know, Garland Nixon did remind me about that. Even though I was going to get it anyway, he told me. So maybe I'll help WPFW. I'll give him a few pennies extra in the next Fund Drive. There you go. That's what it'll do. It'll help you. You'll go to WPFWFM.org and hit the donate button. We always need help staying on the air for the good work that we do. All right. Let us continue. What has happened this week in the news? I would say the big one is Israel. Let's talk about that. So for the past 16 months, there's been, you know, what a lot of people and courts of international law have found probable cause, reasonable suspicion, all those kind of things, to believe that a genocide has been occurring against the Palestinians. Terrible, horrific. Think people like me and lost sleep, shed tears, literally, over this stuff. It's been absolutely terrible, heartbreaking, heart-wrenching crime against humanity. So let me just tell you where I'm coming from, so you'll hear from me. And let me give you the number, so when I get finished running my stupid yap, you can call in and tell me what you think. So from my perspective, you know me, that was one of the main reasons I despised despise the Biden administration and the Democratic Party. I already didn't like the Republican Party. I'm not either one, but I had a special despicable nature. I mean, I can't, if there's no words in the English language to communicate the hate in my heart, and I'm a person with only love in my heart, so I don't feel good about this, the hate in my heart towards the Biden administration and the Democratic Party as a whole. Hatred, pure, unadulterated, evil hatred to the core of my heart. And I do not exaggerate as to how I felt about Joe Biden and everybody around him and the Democratic Party as a whole, based on the fact that I'm looking online and I'm seeing children blown to pieces. I'm seeing tents bombed. I'm seeing people burned to death. I'm seeing the most horrible thing. I will never, till the longest day I live, have anything in my heart but hatred for the Democratic Party. Now, I don't like the Republican Party. Disagree with them. They're imperialists. They're just another, you know, they ain't gonna do nothing for the working man. So I don't like the Republican Party. But this Democrat-led genocide, it aroused something in me that I didn't even know was there. That's the level of hatred, an evil, fiendish hatred that I hate to admit is there, but I got to admit it's there because, you know, I mean, if I have one child, you know, a child, and I had to think about, you know, okay, I said we got a caller. I'll be on in 5 minutes. No, give me 5 minutes and we'll start taking calls, or a little less, 202-588-0893. So I look online and this child has got torn to pieces, and I'm thinking about my daughter getting torn to pieces, burned alive, you know, whatever, right? Pregnant people running with children, shrapnel killing them, brains blown out. And so I'm thinking about all this. And I've cried tears. Why should I have to cry? I'm supposed to be a tough guy, ex-cop, working out in the gym, you throwing punches and martial arts, and I'm Joe Tough Guy. My favorite movie is Predator. I'm Mr. Tough Guy. Tears running out of my eyes. Do you know how angry that made me and still is to this date? So that's where I am. And then I don't even know how to word this. I was convinced that Donald Trump was just going to double down. Trump's going to come in here and do the same thing. That's what I felt. He ain't going to do nothing different. He's in the pockets of AIPAC and blah, blah, blah. So the other day, Donald Trump sends his boy, Mitkoff, whatever the guy's name is. The guy goes to Israel on behalf of Trump and says to Israel, you will accept the ceasefire. And they said, okay. He forced them to do it. And I'm thinking, 16 months and Joe Biden wouldn't or couldn't? Inexcusable. Inexcusable. It made me even more angry. The Democrats are done. They're done. How could they do this to this crime against humanity? And I got to watch Kamala Harris. Oh, no matter what, I'm supporting Israel. I could vomit. And then Trump comes along. He's the evil guy. He's the bad guy. He's going to do terrible things. And he ends it. How bad do the Democrats look now? How bad does the Biden administration look now? They're done. They're done. Turn the lights off. Put the flag down when you leave DNC headquarters. It's done. Man, this burns me up. I mean, I'm thrilled when I saw Palestinians celebrating. Not that I think it takes effect Sunday, but the Israelis are still going to do terrible and evil, horrible things. But I'm saying they got something more paper, and apparently it's going to start. I don't even know what to say. 202-588-0893. I'm about to take calls. Let me tell you this. Number one, do not, when you talk to Kalia, who is our he's the man that makes this show happen, don't set the phone down and wait for me to call you because we have a 10-second delay. And if you're listening to it through the computer or you're listening through the radio, when I call your name, you won't hear me for 10 seconds. Once you call in, when you're on hold, keep the phone next to your ear. Speak loudly and clearly when I call. And please, no speaker phones. They sound terrible. All right. We're doing a new studio, so please help us out because we're still working out the kinks and working out the bugs. So we need you to help us all we can. 202-588-0893. First caller. Caller, you're on the air. Where you calling from?
Hello?
You're on air.
Oh, Brother Garland, this is Leo calling long distance from Lisbon, Portugal.
Talk to me, Leo. What's happening? Thanks for calling.
No, that's a pleasure. Thanks for having me. And unfortunately, I can hear an echo. I don't know what it is, why.
Oh, yeah, we have that problem. Here's what you do, Leo. Say what you got to say and then hold the phone away from your ear for a second while the echoes go. But anyway, go ahead. Let's do the best we can do. We're still struggling.
Sure.
Like,
I got a
new studio.
Just a couple
we're struggling
questions.
Through some kinks.
Just a couple of questions. So the first question is, what your I just want to hear your opinion on Joe Biden's decision to lift to remove Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism, which I think he should have done sooner. And I don't feel like Cuba, I mean, was at fault to begin with. And I feel
of course,
like
yeah.
if
yeah,
it wasn't
you're right.
if Biden lifted the removed Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism, Cuba would have been economically prosperous and would not have seen blackouts or any of these situations that the island is seeing. So I want to see your I want to hear your opinion on that. Second is regarding the numerous interruptions that Blinken, Secretary Blinken faced, or should I say Secretary of Genocide, has faced over the past several weeks or so, you know, interruptions from pro-Palestine activists, and most recently from an Arab American journalist who
Sam Husseini, really good friend of
said
mine,
that he should be in The Hague and he deserves it.
Yes, well, you know. On Blinken, and boy, if that guy is not a sociopath, there's no such thing. You know what I mean? The man has the emotions of a rock. He is a sick and twisted person to me. I mean, he is as bad as the Biden administration is. He is the worst part of it. A very sick and murderous man. So I despise Blinken, and I am very happy. There was Max Blumenthal, there was Sam Husseini, and there was another woman who screamed at him and called him bloody Blinken and all that. So it, to me, what a wonderful day when people degrade and humiliate Antony Blinken. The only sad thing is his mind is so crooked and twisted, and he's such a sociopath that he cannot possibly understand that there could possibly be accountability for his actions or that he even did anything wrong. That's how sick that man is. But for the rest of us, we get some joy to see him humiliated. I'm happy about that. And what was the first one again about?
That was regarding Biden's decision to sudden decision.
Oh, Cuba. Well, I put it like this. You're right.
Cuba.
He should have did it a long time ago. It is a crime what the United States does to Cuba. And, you know, every year, a lot of people don't know this. Every year, the United Nations has a vote. And the vote is, should the U.S. drop all its sanctions against Cuba? Every country in the world votes for the United States to drop the sanctions against Cuba, except the United States and Israel. So it's just evil to punish the people of Cuba. And, you know, these sanctions started in like 1961 or 62, and they explicitly wrote that they wanted the people of Cuba to suffer so they will rise up against their hunger and all that, so rise up against their government, that kind of crap. That was 64 years ago or something, 63, 64 years ago, and they haven't risen up yet. It's just evil and vindictive. And I believe this. In the same way that the United States is sanctioned Venezuela, 99% of its oil revenue was eliminated. So the United States sanctioned Venezuela, eliminated 99% of its revenue, and then said, Venezuela's government doesn't work and Maduro can't do a good job. You eliminated 99% of their stuff. So they destroyed their economy and then said, socialism doesn't work. That's the game. They couldn't do it to China. Yep. China's a socialist country, working pretty good. They took out Cuba and Venezuela's economy just so they could say socialism doesn't work, because they're afraid that in some countries it quite does work, if that's what the people want, such as Vietnam, such as Nicaragua, such as China, on and on and on. And the United States didn't want people to have that choice. All right, I got to get ready to go. Thanks a lot, Leo. Got a couple
Powerful.
More calls. All right, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. This is Marvin. How you doing?
Wonderful. What's happening, Marvin?
Listen, man. I heard something on the radio on the station a couple of days ago. They talked about H. Rap Brown.
Okay.
And what he talked about in 1968 as far as the presidency. And he was talking about it didn't matter what color you was and what you do, you don't, the president don't run nothing. And it was kind of deep. I can't remember verbatim what he was talking about. And I heard H.R. Brown's name mentioned before, but I didn't know what he talked about. But when he talked about 1968, about who's the president, what the president can do and what they can't do and all that kind of stuff, fill me in on that if you know anything about
it. Well, I there's a certain amount of truth. There's a whole lot of truth to that. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that whether it's Congress or the president, that those people are not the real power, that they work for the real power, that they're there so we can't see the people who really are in power, right? Are there parties? Yes. Do the parties have some kind of an ideological alignment with what they want? Yes. But there is real power that you can't see. Now, take Larry Fink. Larry Fink runs BlackRock. BlackRock has $9 trillion in asset. Let me ask you this. If he calls the president and says, I want you to do this or that, you think it ain't going to happen? You know what I mean? So the truth is, yes, I agree to a large extent. There are very powerful people. The United States is an oligarchy. The people don't run. We don't run this country. The billionaires run this country. So there's a lot to be said. There are a lot of people in history who have said that, and there's a whole lot to it.
But and one other question I got for you. Is he still alive?
Who?
I know he was in jail for a long time.
H.R. Brown?
Yeah.
I don't know, tell you the truth. I don't think so, but I don't know. He changed his name, right?
Right. He got a Muslim name.
Yeah, Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin. Right.
Right. But is he still alive?
I don't know.
Still locked up.
I think he is. Let me see. He's apparently 81.
Right. I was trying to figure out whether or not he's still alive. But his message was back in 1968.
Well, let's be honest with you. Karl Marx said that in the 1800s. You know what I mean? So a lot of people have said, you know, when it comes to power, you know, the people that you see are not the people that have the real power, whether it's Congress, whether it's the Senate, whether it's, you know what I mean? A lot of people have said that for many years. So, but yeah, I agree with it to a large extent.
Okay. And one other thing is.
Go ahead. What's your next one?
My mind, there's no other place on the planet I'd rather be than right here, even though the way they got it started and what they did.
I don't know if I can say that. There's some pretty nice places on this planet, but, you know, I'll put it like this. You'd have to go to all the other places before you said that. That's all I can say. To me, I tell you what happens too in America. A lot of Americans say that. And to me, with some Americans, it's like this. It's like a person who has only had vanilla ice cream and they say vanilla ice cream is the best. And you say, you ever had better butter pecan?
Yeah,
nope.
Right.
Chocolate,
right.
Strawberry? Nope. I've only had vanilla. So vanilla is the best. You know this.
Right.
If you went to a country and that country had beautiful weather and everything was great all the time, hula girls dancing on the beach every day, everything that you could possibly want at that country, and you lived there, you might say, forget America. I like this country. It's too cold. So who knows?
It's possible, but as far as my knowledge right now, I'd go other places I'd rather be. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next caller. Remember, we got open lines, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I think this is Tom in Arlington.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, Garland, you know, your whole riff on the Democrats, I, you know, get in these situations myself where you're just running down the Democrats and, you know, friends that go, oh, what are you? You like the Republicans? What are you, a Trumpster? And it's like, no, I know what those people are. I already know what they are. But these Democrats spend all their time and spend all their money trying to pretend like they're not what they are. You know, they trick us over and over and over again. And that, the level of just antipathy.
The Republicans are pretty straightforward. You know who they are. They're standing for the rich. They're this and that. You know who they are. You don't have to guess. They ain't a phony. The Democrats are like, we're the best, nicest people in the world. And then when you see what they do, you're like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. So I expect nothing from Trump. I expect nothing from the Republicans. And that's what they deliver. But for somebody to come up and promise me the moon and just then turn around and kick me in the teeth, I mean, this happens in our personal lives, right? Where you have a friend
pretends to be your friend. They, you know, compliment you, and then you find out they're running you down. Well,
well, you know, I'm going to be honest, what happened with me, I said this.
You know,
well, you know what? I was a, dedicated Democrat. My, you know, most of my life. And then in 2016, Bernie Sanders came along and I said, hey, I like what he's saying. Yeah. I'm going to vote for him. And the party robbed him and I left the party. And at that point, I lost hope because I'm like, well, I finally saw a guy that I like what he said. He was a Democrat. I thought he had a fair chance to win. And if he won in fair and square, lost in fair and square, I was fine with that. But he didn't. Yep. They did. They used everything they could to rob him. And I left the party. I'm like, this is just wrong. You're not letting the people choose.
And they're still doing it. Bowman, yep. I mean, on and on and on. We can debate whether how good or bad they are, but they're still doing it. The squad is definitely.
What was it? Bowman, the other lady, Cori Bush, right?
I might have
issues with them or not, but they had a right to win. In the party, allowed AIPAC to come in and put all this money in and run them out with money. And where was the Democratic Party saying, I'm sorry, they're an incumbent, they're a member of our party, we got to stand up for them. They always talk about how they're standing up for minorities. Well, Jamal Bowman was a minority, a black man. Cori Bush was a black woman. You always give me all this talk that you're standing up for black people, this and that. And when Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman are running, you stab them in the back and let them get replaced.
When it's Kamala Harris running as a black woman, then suddenly we have to protect black women. But Cori Bush, leave her by the side of the road.
How about that?
It's like, come on, man. And just to close the loop, you know, how hilarious is it? Biden, in his final address, talking about we're an oligarchy. Like, dude, you're the one who brought it to us. I mean, come on. It's just laughable. I mean, we're supposed to vote for these people. I just can't do it. I'm with you, Garland.
I'm furious, man. You know, but at any rate, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call.
Hey, thank you, Garland. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you. Next call. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Virginia. My name is Emma, and I'm a Palestinian. I just wanted to say, like, I've seen everyone celebrating in Gaza, but to me, this just feels like something that is very long overdue. And I'm just relieved, and I'm hoping that we can finally get some aid into Gaza. And overall, it's just been a terrible environment. I go to George Mason, and I don't know if you've heard what's happened at that university, but we've had two Palestinian students who are the former president and co-president of the only Palestinian student organization, and their home was raided by the FBI and 30 armed officers before dawn, like broke their door down, took their devices, and they've been suspended from school for over 4 years. And I just, like, I don't think anyone really feels safe anymore. And it's just really disappointing.
And not only that, I'm looking, and students are exercising their First Amendment right to stand up against the genocide, which I think is the moral thing to do. And the police come in. They're beating the students. They're beating the professors. They're dragging them away. These people are, they're in the right. They're standing against crimes against humanity. And look what happens. Again, hey, look. I'm independent. I'm not saying the Republicans, certainly the Republicans were in favor of it, but the Democrats were in power. The Democrats were in power, and this was happening. And they wonder why they lost Michigan, because all the Muslims voted for Trump. You know what I mean? I mean, you think they're going to vote for you the way you're treating people? And a lot of young people, I also think a lot of young people that just said, this is a bridge too far for me. You're committing genocide. You're slaughtering men, women, and innocent children, and we can't support you. And I don't think they're ever coming back to that party. Your thoughts?
No, yeah, I completely understand. I was talking to a lot of people, and I know a lot of people voted Green Party. I know some Muslims said maybe Trump, you know, won't be as bad as what they've seen from the Democrats. It's like, how can Democrats expect anyone to go for them after a literal genocide and the carnage that has gone through? Their decline is their own fault.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, for the rest of my life, if somebody just says the word Democrat, I'm just probably barf all over them. I don't ever want to see any. I don't even, if I see a donkey, I'll probably run for my life. If I go to a petting zoo and they got a donkey, I'll probably run out and run in front of a car and get hit. They have traumatized, literally, I'm traumatized. For the last 16 months, yeah, have literally traumatized me. So, well, thank you very much.
I completely understand.
Certainly appreciate the call. We got a couple more calls. And I'm saying that. That's not a joke. I'm traumatized. I've been through trauma. And I think a lot of people of goodwill in this world to see people being starved, to see people without water, to see people say, I think these people, you know, I saw this video the other day and somebody was interviewing these two Israeli women and they were saying, well, what about you know, they're killing children and stuff. And the women said, well, we don't care because there's no innocent people there. They'd throw me off the air if I told you what I thought. If I said what I was thinking at the time, I would never be able to do another show on PFW or anybody or anywhere else on this planet. I had such fury to watch human beings say, I don't care. All of these men, women, babies, children, they're not innocent. Slaughter them all. And I'm thinking, and I thought Nazi Germany was over. Something at least as bad as Nazi Germany is upon us. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name, where you're calling from?
Mr. Garland, I'm Sam.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Wonderful. What are you thinking about?
Oh, let me tell you, you do a great job. And there is nobody who can do it like you do. So keep up the good job. About to the Middle East, my prayer was that this war stops, genocide war.
Mm-hmm.
And so far things look good, and that's really great. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that even Ukraine war is going to stop.
You and me both. You know, another war where probably a million people have died. And I'm looking and I'm like, the Biden administration, what a bloodthirsty group. Over their 4 years, the number of lives that have been lost, and they won't do nothing to try to stop any of it. It is a criminal on a level that I can't even imagine. And now Trump's coming in. So apparently, I don't know what's going to happen. It appears, I guess, maybe he stopped this one. I can only hope. What if Trump comes in and he stops that war and he stops the Ukraine war? I'm telling you, you will need a museum to find a Democrat because you ain't going to find none in Congress nowhere. They lost, I don't know how many black voters either stayed home or voted for Trump. 45% of Latinos, people are walking away from the party. And I know there's people of the party listening. You're bloodthirsty fiends. Why would anybody vote for a bunch of bloodthirsty monsters? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I got a little carried away.
No, it's okay. By the way, do you check your emails? I hope you do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. There is something, the title is very important. Please respond. I have sent you, okay? So please check on it, okay?
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we're going on to the next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, I guess that caller must have dropped the caller. Well, whoever it is, caller, call back. We still got open lines, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Talking to me, Jeffrey?
I hope so. It's Garland, actually, but I'm all ears. Go ahead.
Jeffrey from Virginia. So about a month or so ago, you said, oh, well, Israel's going down. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, what I meant was this. Israel is now in a situation where they have been revealed as a brutal and violent society. They have done deeds so foul and unthinkable that moral people around the world are not going to want to buy anything that was made in Israel. They're not going to travel to Israel. They're not going to want to do anything to do with companies around Israel. They have committed moral suicide, and moral people around the world will reject them. That is my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. This is something like I've never seen. And now, you know, let me ask you this. What do you think of the ceasefire? I mean, personally, I just thought Trump would come in and keep doing the same thing that the Democrats were doing. I was pleasantly surprised. I'll say even shocked that Trump took some action to stop it. What do you think about that? Any comment on it?
Yeah, so he stopped the major killing, or the killing fast, but they're still going to kill slowly.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, I'm going to disagree with you that, but I'm just saying an actual in real time genocide had to stop.
Yes, and that I'm very happy about.
Yeah,
and I feel so much better now. But the fight will change. The things are going to still continue to happen in the West Bank, and there's still going to be suffocation of people over there.
As people who love peace, we still got a lot of work to do. How about that? We got those of us who oppose war and are in favor of peace have a lot to do. Do you think now that Trump has said he'll stop the Ukraine conflict, do you think that'll stop also?
Let's hope so. My God.
Yeah, I'm with you. These wars are just—they need to stop. All right. Well, thank you very much. Going on to the next caller. I certainly appreciate it. All right. 202-588-0893. Yeah. These wars have got to stop. It's been a tough time. All right. Next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? I can hear you. I can hear something in the background. Are you there, caller?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. My name is Andre. I'm calling to acknowledge that what you seem to do is just stir people up. Pile people up with obvious observations that nobody is disagreeing with. However, you just say, don't like this, don't like that, don't like everything. So the only solution is to expatriate.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You weren't very loud. You said the only solution is what?
Give us some direction. But all you do is scatter people, splinter people all over the place, their ideology and their beliefs, and nobody does anything. No unity. Less than the unity. So where do you think we're going to get with all of your just rent for the purpose of making money to line your pocket? And I'm sure you probably first one lined up for grants. Benefit. Help us out. Stop scattering us and give some direction.
Well, you know, and if you listen to my show regularly, you know, this is my thing. This is what I said all along. I think that I'm for people, for working class, ordinary working class people coming together, not ordinary working class Democrats or Republicans or Green Party, that working class people need to come back together, not just black or not just white or gay or this or that, that working class people need to understand that our needs are all one need, and that the ruling elite, the people that are in power, they stick together and they're like, yeah, we're billionaires. We got to look out for billionaires, and that we have to stop fighting amongst each other as far as working class people. We have to stop making them divide the working class. So I hate this guy because he's a Trump supporter. I hate that person because they're unvaccinated. I hate that person because they're a Democrat. Ooh, that person's a socialist. That person's a libertarian. That we stop that stuff and we say we're working class people and we need to come together to address our interests in the same way that the billionaires come together to address their interests and stop letting them divide us up, that the working class people need to come together themselves. That's what I believe in. What are your thoughts?
I actually agree with 100%. I'm working, I'm the labor against capital as well. However, just scattering folks, nobody is, as a matter of fact, understand that. What they understand makes them feel good. They think there's no organization. What's the organization to get behind represent the people? Always communist like you. I'm for the people. Every situation, I'm for the power to the people. But that means nothing. You don't have an organization for to get behind.
Now, I think, let me ask you this. I've said this for a while. I think we need, you know, most countries, if you travel around the world, right, you go to most countries, and when they have an election, there's 10, 15, 20 parties, right? And what you end up with is you got a whole bunch of parties, and let's say one party wins a lot, another party wins so much, and ultimately, several parties got to come together to have enough people to a ruling coalition, they'll call it. Here, we only got two. And I think that's the problem, because now both of them, we have two corrupt warmongering parties. Whereas if we had a whole bunch of other parties, people could come together and the parties, various parties could come together with other interests. So I believe we need to do like a lot of other countries, and we need to have people need to have other parties and other options, because two parties is just not working because both of them are corrupt. You get the last word because I got a couple more callers. Go ahead.
Thank you. I feel, however, at my age, 59, I reasonably think it's going to happen in my lifetime. So is that reasonable? So we can have ideas things, but is that reasonable? Is it more reasonable for us and actually affect the parties that's already? Let's be real.
Well, I certainly appreciate the call. Unfortunately, you were a little broken up, but you know, as I said, we're still struggling right now in a new studio to get everything just straight, but you were a little broken. It was a little difficult to hear you, but I hear your frustration. I understand your frustration. We all have it, and we're all trying to figure things out right now as, you know, this place seems to be coming unglued. You know, the wheels are coming off the cart in the United States, and you know, we're trying to get things straight. But I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you listening to WPFW. 202-588-0893. We've got open lines. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Carol, and I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland.
I'm all ears, Carol.
Okay. First thing, H.R.A.P. Brown is still living. He's languishing in federal prison in poor health. Secondly, Israel is still bombing Gaza. Over 100 people have died in the last 2 days. So all that dancing in the street is fine, but still, Israel is still killing people. But mainly what I want to talk about was
it's a criminal
your
country.
Tears for Gaza are important, but you also should have tears for Sudan. Those Gulf Arab states are fueling a civil war, and in Sudan, it is just as bad, if not worse, than Gaza. People are starving, and news media is paying attention.
Well, and you left out the Democratic Republic of the Congo, you know what I mean? I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, people do not even talk about the pain and suffering in Africa. The people, you know, the United States sanctions and punishes a lot of countries around the world. Americans, most people don't know this. Now this ain't gonna be hard to guess. The continent with the most sanctioned countries in the world, the highest number of countries that are under U.S. sanctions, is Africa. We're always gonna give Africa the shaft. But, you know, and one of the things that infuriates me about Gaza, and when people bring it up, you know, or talk about it, I say, do you have any idea the kind of genocides that the U.S. and the colonial powers, and even when they talk about the Holocaust, yes, the Holocaust in Germany was unthinkable. However, there's been so many Holocausts in the black parts of the world. Did you know this? When the British, and during the time period that the British ruled India, right, They were responsible for like 60 million deaths, 10 times the number of people that Hitler killed. That's black and brown people in India. Go to Africa. We could go on and on and on. What the
Belgian
French did
Congo,
in Algeria.
King Leopold, you know what I mean? Killed millions.
Yep. What about, what's his name? King Leopold. You know what I mean? I mean, on and on and on. He enslaved and murdered an entire country. We got black folks been genocided over and over. Then I could go to South America with the Spanish, you know, on and the Americans, I might add. So, you know, it's just been one genocide after another. It's horrible.
Well, I All just right. think that go you ahead, need to bring it to the attention of your audience that Sudan is really suffering, and it's those Gulf Arab states are fueling that civil war because they're sending all the weapons.
Yeah, and of course Libya. Libya was the wealthiest country in Africa. It's an African country, and under Barack Obama, the United States overthrew, destroyed the government of Libya based on lies once again. And now Libya literally has slaves there again. It's unthinkable what this country and what the European colonial powers have done in Africa, in the global south. It's just one criminal act after another. Thank you very much.
Amen.
202. Yes, 202-588-08. This is one of many genocides, and it needs to be brought out. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Going on, Garland? It's Max calling from Maryland.
Talk to me, Max.
So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about Israel-Palestine, and then I want to talk about my predictions for Russia and Ukraine.
Okay.
So I agree with you on Israel-Palestine. That will be, as someone who voted for Biden and Kamala, the one thing I wish he would have strayed away from Biden on. I wish he would have let that Muslim congresswoman speak at the DNC convention. I think she would have had a great chance if she, well, not a great chance, but a significantly better chance if she would have said, we're going to do an arms embargo ceasefire and let that Muslim congresswoman speak as well.
Well, I think they should have just did what Trump did and called Netanyahu and said, hey, stop it now. Apparently he'd have had to do it, but they didn't want to do that. So now they paid the price and a lot of lives were lost.
Did Trump say that? Because I know at one point when Biden, and don't get me wrong, this was the most kind of like, it doesn't mean anything, but at one point Biden was urging Netanyahu to stop and try to hold arms. And then Trump literally called Biden like a pro-Palestine. Trump literally said, and said he's holding Netanyahu back. Trump literally said that earlier this year. I have it quoted.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. However, within the last 2 days, Trump sent a guy named Smitkoff or something over there, and the guy told the Israelis, stop now, and you got to do it, and they did. So apparently it wasn't as hard to stop as, you know, Biden and Harris the whole time. We're working feverishly. We're working hard to stop it. Well, Trump didn't work hard. He sent somebody over there and told them to stop, and they stopped. I don't understand, but I guess I'll never understand. But at any rate, so what's your second part? Ukraine. Go ahead. I know you're hot and heavy for that one, brother.
So we're definitely in disagreement, but instead, I don't really want to debate you on it. I just want to say my prediction is that I think over these next 4 years, we will see Trump and Putin form a coalition. It won't really be seen in plain eye view, but it will be a coalition. They will undermine all of NATO, all of Europe, and it'll kind of be like cinematic, I think, because I think Trump models his style of governing off of Vladimir Putin.
Well, how much do you know about Russian government?
Well, I know the oligarchs, right? Putin got all the oligarchs to conform the same way Trump is getting all the big tech billionaires, and he has the richest man who will be influencing fiscal policy in his government, Elon Musk.
Now, let me ask you this. It is my opinion that the United States is an oligarchy, and might I add, Jimmy Carter said it's an oligarchy. Might I add, Columbia did a study. People can look it up. Columbia University study. And the university found that we're not a democracy. We're an oligarchy. And I really believe that. And the premise that what they did was they ran these tests and these numbers to see policies that were supported by the people, and they found policies that were supported by like 95% of Americans that wouldn't go through. But then they found policies that most Americans oppose that a few billionaires was in favor of, and they went through every time. And what they said was, we're an oligarchy. If the billionaires want laws or rules or regulations, they can get them through. If the people want them, they can't get them through. And it doesn't matter who the president is. And that's a, kind of the definition of an oligarchy. And I believe that, Max. Do you?
I mean, I definitely think the wealthy interests in America have a lot of power. And I actually do think we are going to go through a Great Depression eventually. And there will be a communist revolution in this country because we won't have FDR. We'll have Trump. But I think we would have to analyze each specific policy. And I would have to say which ones are less favorable for the people and then which ones were definitely 100% influenced by high interest groups.
Okay, so you don't think that as a whole we're an oligarchy? It sounds like to me you're not saying we're an oligarchy completely, but that the billionaires have more influence than we do, or something like that. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I do. I think it's like complicated. Because I don't know. Like it's just I do feel like there are policies that have been pushed right. That got passed that were good, but then if we don't get like the whole enchilada, like so a quick example, the original Build Back Better, Biden wanted to put paid time off, the permanent extended child tax credit, and then there were a couple other things in there, but then Sinema and Manchin, to get the other Republicans to vote for it, stopped it. So I think it's like there's times where they push popular ideas, but then the wealthy interest groups step in and prevent it from happening.
Oh, okay. Well, we got a couple callers, but Max, thanks a lot. I appreciate you listening to the show every week, and I appreciate hearing from you every week. Have a great day.
All right. Thank
All you right. Have... All right. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Sam from D.C.
Yep. What's happening?
Yeah, everything's good. I had a comment about everybody's talking about what parties to vote for, independent. Is the party that we need to vote for. Like you said, we are independent, and you made a point where in other countries, they have multiple candidates, and then all of a sudden they, you know, come together and form a party that's worth something. But
right.
Republicans and Democrats, we all know it's not for us, the middle class, the moral people. So I think, like what you said, the independent is the party we need to vote for.
And, you know, let me throw this at you. What we're seeing is this, and this is the telltale sign. You know, in America, people expected that their children would be at least could live as good as they would and hopefully have some better opportunities. And now people are looking at their children saying, man, my children are not going to be, you know, I could buy a house or I could buy a car. And my children are saying I'm not going to be able to afford a house or a car. We're seeing the standard of living go down in America, continuously go down. And if the standard of living is going down, the people in charge ain't doing their job. They're Absolutely. Not doing it wrong. I'll put it like this. Their standard of living is going up. We're seeing people come into Congress, people go into politics and enrich themselves. You know, and meanwhile, the working class people can't get anything. We can't get health care coverage. But you know what? They always got another $20 billion to go to Ukraine or Israel or Taiwan or wherever exactly. for another war. But they never have a penny for us. And God forbid the black community should ask for a dime. We ain't getting nothing.
At all. And it's amazing about the health care, like you said, how we have our health care cost so much. And the standard or the expectation of life is so low. It's crazy.
How about this? Medicare does not cover hearing. Medicare does not cover eyes. Medicare does not cover dental. That's three things that seniors are always going to have problems with. It is inexcusable that Medicare does not cover. Since when are your eyes, your ears, and your teeth not part of your medical situation? It is a crime Absolutely. That they don't cover that for seniors. A lot of people don't know that till they get Medicare.
America do seniors the wrongest, if you ask me. It's crazy.
Terrible.
You know, they should get free everything, if you ask me. It's terrible that after you retire, you still have to work to live. You know, it's
and then
crazy.
And then a senior's been living in their community, in their house for all these years, and the value of the house goes up, and the taxes go up so much they can barely afford the taxes. They end up having to sell the house because they can't pay the taxes. That the way you're right. The way we treat seniors is a crime in this country. The way our government treats seniors is a crime.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you very
much. Thank you for the conversation. Stay blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. You know, people are no longer, you know, people are just getting sick because and angry. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's all it is. The standards of living are going down and that can't continue. And if the ruling elite doesn't wake up, there will be revolutionary change. They need to look at old Luigi and what he did, and then look at all the people online who are clapping saying, yay. If you remember the ruling elite, you better wake up. You better see that for what it is. If you don't, one of these days, it's going to catch up with you. The pitchforks and the torches are coming out and the guillotines are being sharpened. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Look at old.
You're on the air. Next caller. Well, I think I hear something. Yes.
Is it me?
I hope so. You didn't set the phone down, did you?
How you doing?
You're not on the speakerphone. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, how you doing, man? This is my first time. This is my
appreciate you calling. Speak loud because we're still working on our system, but speak loud so we can hear you. Go ahead. I certainly appreciate the call, man. I'm glad it's your first time caller. I wish I had a bell or something to ring for first time callers.
Yeah, I've been listening to you all year, but tonight I was encouraged to call because you mentioned one of my favorite guys, and that was the H-Rap Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's criminal that our Congressional Black Caucus doesn't go to the president and get pardons for over 47 black nationalists that's still in jail. They've been in there over 35, 40 years.
You know,
but they can always find a way
to
rubber stamp Jonathan Pollard. Who sold military secrets, United States secrets, and just let them off. But they don't never petition the government for our people. And
no.
I think that's one of the reasons why the Congressional Black Caucus is sent there. That's one of mine. I would send them there. And they don't do nothing to help our people.
Yeah. People are waking up to that point, that just because you got a black politician doesn't mean that the black politician is on your side. In the same way that, you know, even if I take the color away, the politicians of America ain't looking out for the working class. The white politicians ain't. The black politicians ain't. I don't know what the Congressional Black Caucus is doing. The best I can do is go to their website and see some statement from the Congressional Black Caucus that says they support Israel and blah, blah, blah. They're there. Oh, if there's a war, we need more money for Ukraine. You can be sure the Congressional Black Caucus will be there voting to get more money for Ukraine or Israel or whatever. Now, if you want a few pennies for the black community, radio silence from them. They are wearing out their welcome in the black community. We're sick and tired of every 4 years you come to the pulpit in our church, in our community, and say, vote for me. And if for the next 4 years you vote for money for Ukraine, for Taiwan, for Israel, for everywhere, I go through the black community and I see the same broken down buildings and the people that don't have, you won't do anything to help the people with addictions. You won't do anything to help the people that need job training. You promised in 2020, the Democratic Party promised, they said, we're going to do free community college. That would have been a great help for the black community. It never came through. But they was quick to vote for $60 billion for Ukraine, $20 billion for Israel. Oh, they're going to vote for that, but they couldn't find the money for what they promised us.
Yeah, they don't have an and they don't have an individual district plan. wherever they elected from. They don't take a piece of paper up there at all and say, this is what my district needs. This is what I'm demanding that I get. Now, if you want my vote for this and that, you have to do this. And they need a hustle and get the people in place so they can implement some of these things. They don't have any regional meetings. They have job fairs. You know, we don't need job fairs.
Well, unfortunately, I'm getting a signal. We got to get ready. I got to jump off because we're getting ready to go. We're running out of time. Thank you very much. Well, you know what? They don't care. Look, I used to go to the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, and I would look and see the things on the wall, paid for by Goldman Sachs, brought to you by Citigroup. You know, come on. You think they get money from Citigroup and Goldman Sachs? You think they really care about a brother on the street that needs some help for addiction? Sorry. That ain't the way things work. All right. Thanks a lot to my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job. Also, I want to thank everybody for helping and supporting WPFW. You can find me online, Garland Nixon on Facebook. Garland N, my first name and the first letter of my last name, @gmail.com is my email address. And Garland.Nixon on Instagram. Thank you very much. And I'll talk to you next week. Kalia is getting us out of here with some good music.
Think about you, baby. fifth.